Am I doing it?
I can do it.
Do it.
All right.
Do that shit.
Hey guys, welcome to the Name Redacted podcast. As always, I am Alexander Fulmer here with my one of my hetero life mates. Actually, I guess it's technically two of the three hetero life mates now. Chris Nielsen and the Bruce Shaman, Jeff Shaman.
It's good.
We are sans Colin Norris today.
That was amazing.
He's at work doing his whole thing where he makes money and doesn't understand how math works, so he thinks he makes more than he does. Like 2 minutes from where we are. And we actually have guests for the first time in a little while, which is really nice. And we're going to let them introduce themselves. We're sitting at one of their houses. I'll let him take it away.
Yeah, here you go.
Go ahead.
I am Timothy White.
And with us...
Now, what do you do?
Who are you?
I am a musician and writer.
Me and Tim used to play New Age of Radio together.
Yeah.
And we've had a few flings. A few things we've talked about writing and stuff, but it hasn't quite worked out yet.
With the relationship the musicians have with each other, I think the terminology fling
is appropriate.
It's okay.
It's kind of sometimes being in a band with somebody is more of a roller coaster than dating somebody else, I think.
You think you can be qualified as a tryst?
A tryst?
Is it a tryst? Is it a more classy version of fling?
That's a good word. Is that our buzzword? Is tryst our buzzword?
Tryst.
It's going to be said one more time.
Okay, it'll be said a lot more. Who am I kidding?
Maybe we should... No, I'm not going to get sexist.
Not yet. It's too early in the day.
Let me introduce this. My guest... I am a guest with a guest.
Guys, we're doing dual guests.
Dual guest. What's up?
When I was approached by this, about doing this, I didn't want to just do it with myself. I wanted to bring in
Do it with
this
yourself.
Guy.
Do it with yourself.
Auto fellatio.
What?
This is my guest, Marcus.
Yeah, I'm the urban monk, and I'm on tour. I retired last year from canning a million beers for Catawba Brewery. And then I was like, I'm going on tour. So right now I just published a book.
Oh, cool.
I made.
I actually have it here.
I translated The Art of War, Sun Tzu, into The War of Art. And I like literally translated every bullet point. And like I made that while I was on tour.
And so
I'm holding it in my hand right now.
Did you just contextualize it to be about art, or is it just
I just applied it as instead of war, it's artist and like an aggressive approach to success, either creatively, financially, or just like
Nice, that's awesome. So what are you doing on tour?
I do different art in different cities. I went to Chicago. I painted a piano for charity, Kids for Keys.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually the same place they shot the movie Divergent. Like, the scene where they jump off the train onto the warehouse.
Yeah.
That's the warehouse that we painted in.
That's awesome.
Like,
that's really cool.
I saw that movie. I was like, what? And I got on the roof and got to take pictures of stuff. And that's cool. And then I did a live performance art piece for an IT job conference. Yeah. It's like IT is called Uncubed. And it's like these, like startups that were like hiring 25 people,
yeah,
like six figure jobs, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna paint a painting. What's up? And I put like the Chicago Blackhawks logo on like this 4x4 foot, and I did like binary code for 3-2-1, which was my art group, and was like, bam, and like won that, got like sketchbook and stuff.
That's really cool.
You mentioned you went to art school.
Yeah, I was like Savannah College of Art and Design's longest running student. I went there. I went there from like 1997 to like 2004, like through the summers, like full time. Like I have like 216 credit hours.
Jesus.
It takes like 180 to get a master.
Jesus.
Like, and then I was a rising star, so I went there when I was like 17. So I had, and they labeled me the not so rising star. I was like, this is awesome. So I came back and went there forever.
So what kept you there? Just like wanting to stay around academia, or were you pursuing multiple
degrees?
There's like
a beach 15 minutes away. Right.
let me tell you what kept him. Okay, this is how I met him was through our mutual friend Brian Kiger. He's a bartender at Finnegan's Wake in Winston. That's a plug. That place is awesome.
Boom! That is a plug.
Man. Anyway, I met Marcus through him. So he was telling me about BK, as I refer to him, was talking about
GQ Smooth.
GQ BK Suave.
GQ Smooth.
He was talking about their college days, and he said that a normal day in art school would go like this. See if I can get this right. Wake up.
Yes.
Blaze. Yes. Hit the gym. Hit the beach by 10:30. In time peak for peak sun. Sun.
Peak sun hour for sure. Gotta get it.
The you said you worked for Catawba Brewery?
Yeah.
Where's that at?
Morganton, North Carolina. They make some pretty awesome beer.
We just got back from Morganton today.
But like when they started canning, I was like their canner. I canned every single beer for 2 years. I canned like over a million beers. Jeez. Every single beer that has the old label, I canned it. I was like the Caninja. Like people were like, they come on the tours and like other breweries like, so what's your canning system like? And there's like me just in the corner with headphones on. They're like, that guy. They're like, everything? They're like, yeah man, that guy. Like, he just does all of that. And we just leave him alone and he just comes in and just does this.
So I'm saying, give this man a warehouse.
And so what the fuck is the switch between 19 years of art school and then all of a sudden wanting to do canning for a beer company?
Well, I also had 300 paintings up in their brewery.
Okay,
that's fair. I'm now their art director. Like, when they open their thing in Asheville, I'll have my signature pieces there when it opens.
Let's talk about that, because they're getting ready to do this. They are.
Yeah, it'll be by, like, January,
sister brother store.
In Asheville.
Brewery in Asheville. So the Mecca is... It's just getting bigger out there in Asheville. So.
Well, they've been there for 15 years. Their base is pretty strong. Like, now they're just going to have a tasting room. It's, like, super brand new. Like, he showed me the blueprints, and there were, like, invisible trucks on it. And then he, like, explained it like that. Was, like, their see-through. They weren't really invisible. I was like, what?
There's 1,000 Wonder Woman jet versions of trucks in here, and I don't understand what's going
on. We're shipping.
I keep running into shit, and I don't know where it's coming
from. So we would have had to deal with level one if we got that big. We'd have to paint clouds on the bottom of the planes and just call them the invisible jet.
This beer on the table.
What are we drinking right now? You pick this out.
Well, right now, okay, we're drinking the seasonal from Shiner Cheer.
Okay.
I found out about this beer about 2 years ago. And I will say that this batch is a lot different than last year.
It tastes like Christmas.
In a good way. I'm normally really weird about Christmas beers, because I normally like the nutmeg and the allspice, just like too much. But this has got like a...
You know, Shiner, take it or leave it. But this is just a good... This is my favorite thing so far that I've had that they put out.
This is actually, it's brewed with peaches and pecans.
And that is what they were not doing that originally.
So you know, the funny thing is about that, to put that on a label, you literally only have to throw one peach.
In the whole thing. That's a great point.
Just to say you brewed.
Well, it's like the pumpkin beer thing.
Yeah, you could just throw like a lot of pumpkin in there.
Yeah, like a lot.
Just heavily spice it. Yeah,
that's an incredible point. Because you know, and it's not peachy.
Yeah. I was gonna say, I was almost getting like a little bit of like a cherry kind of.
It does have a fruit quality to it, but it's not peach. You can't really put your finger on it.
And they probably just put peach extract in there for the flavoring. Yeah. Because the other,
I would hope they didn't do that, but they may have.
The other
now it tastes like apricots. Like I can't get away from them.
The other brewery we have from Thomas Creek, they have one of their banana beers. Yeah. And they get a lot of the flavoring from the yeast.
Right, yeah.
But to call it banana,
you have to have banana in it,
so they just throw a chip in there.
One banana chip?
Yep.
Well, I picked the Shiner Cheer because we have a couple of us here, and I didn't want to just go overload on six packs, because that can get pricey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's always something to be said for cost point and efficiency of, like, being able to get beer that's going to take care of what you're trying to get accomplished for the night in terms of drinking, but still be good.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, that was something that when we introduced the podcast originally, we had a segment we called Drink or Drunk, where we would take into account all the different things about a beer and give it a drink or give it a drunk, which is good or bad. And one of the things that we actually considered was price point of the beer versus how good the beer is, because some things can be not so great, but they cost like 12 cents a fucking bottle. So, like, it's a drink, because you'll get super torn up when you want to over something that tastes like chalk. But, like, There's also things that are that risk.
Yeah. Never had beer like that.
Yeah. But there are also things that, you know, they taste pretty good, but I'm not going to pay fucking $12 a bottle for something. Like, so that's that. Yeah. There's always something to be said for when you're buying beer. Like, take the cost point into.
Don't ever buy chalky beer. Man.
Don't buy chalk beer.
Don't buy chalk beer.
Chalk beer is a poor decision unless it's Genesee Cream Ale.
Don't buy light beer.
No. You're absolutely right, and that's and that came
just
with
buy beer
back.
Beer.
And it's, you know, it's a crowd pleaser generally, so. It's good. It's good sipping beer. It's good session beer.
So I like
beer.
To think of it like, as like the dad beers of the like, okay, well, like, who are my friends who appreciate beer but aren't quite like on the craft beer level? You know, like the guys you would normally walk up to be like, have you ever had a milk stout? Like, no, okay, well, here's a duck rabbit. Try this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I think the Shiner is super accessible because everybody drinks Shinerbach. Like, it's decent run-of-the-mill beer to grab at a bar or whatever.
And this is a Dunkelweizen.
Yes.
I was just reading.
Is it?
Yeah, which I didn't.
This
really
might
taste
be the first Dunkelweizen I've ever enjoyed.
You and I are on the same boat because I hate Dunkelweizen.
Yeah,
I've been privy to that beer, like I said, for about two, three years now. I actually told my bar manager about this beer after I tried it the first time, and then the following year we actually had it on tap.
Yeah.
So
I bet that was probably pretty good.
Yeah, and we've had a good relationship with Shiner at the pub, so. You know,
I don't like Shinerbach.
I really don't care for it. I think that has become like, I think it's even in a Jason Aldean song, if that says anything.
Shinerbach?
Yeah, it's
well, that's awesome. I don't like it.
If it's in a country song, then
chances are it's probably too commercial for its own good now.
Too commercial and a very...
It always seems flat or whatever.
It does, yeah.
It's always a really interesting conversation when we bring up beer because it's a lot of different perspective and a lot of different things, and we've all been in that. I think all of us, even me being the lowest end of the totem pole with our group of friends in terms of beer knowledge, I'm
also surrounded by three guys who were trying to start a brewery. So.
And, I'm surrounded
by somebody who goes to school.
Yeah,
I worked at a brewery for
years.
And I've got two beers named after me I collaborated
with. Nice. Very cool. That's
we're coming back to that.
Yeah.
We need to.
Yeah.
Because we have got to get back to that simply to talk about this other spot in Warrington.
What spot? Oh, Fauna Flora.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're like the best brewery ever made in the universe.
It really
That's a very
is.
Strong statement.
It really is. It is.
Yeah.
You know.
It is perfection.
It reminds me of
the
cantina.
In the Star Wars.
On Tatooine.
Are we talking about the wars, man? I want to take a quick minute to explain why that's funny. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
And the reason why I say that is not because I walked in and there was an interesting, you know, mix of people. Because it's a brewery with a showroom that's essentially just a very nice little bar.
So the showroom is just like the kind of bar where you walk in and you get like big glass windows and you see the tanks and that kind of stuff?
Yes.
Yeah,
well,
there's
no glass wall, though. You can walk up and...
The tanks are like the size of this room right here. Like, it's all like... He's got like this little corner
what's
that produces like the best beer ever made in the world.
What's the size of their system? How many barrels is it? Was
he does like he has like two big tanks and like a fermenter.
I don't
like this two shiny, things and like, things like he has these air pressure tubes shoot shit out everywhere, and then he mops up malt. It goes into the screen.
And this is a guy who worked in a brewery.
I go in there and always pretend I was getting a time machine, like they're making Frankenstein, and like. And they'd be all in these rubber uniforms, and I was in a whole other world. I look over, I'm like, all the time machine, and then like stuff would start shooting out and stuff, and steam would shoot out, and like they would be cranking things and like opening stuff, and it was intense.
It was very walk-up.
That is awesome. That is.
But
awesome.
I was like canning like a million beers. I was like, I put each sticker on individually. Each beer, I put each lid on.
Did you have a big
like
machine you were canning them on, or were you just doing like
I was the
one
machine,
bottle at a time?
One bottle at a time for the like the press because the only press was like press one, so I filled two up at a time.
Holy shit!
And, like I did a million beers one at a time.
My hands get sore after doing, like,
and then,
40.
Like, after you can them all, then I had to, like, six-pack them all and sticker them all. And, like, individually sticker each one. Like, sticker them in
the... So they're coming off the line because they got two press on tops, and you're...
No, I'm the line.
How did that line
basically, you get the sanitizer, and you, like, dip the cans.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You dip the cans, and then you get the cans out, and then you get the water out, and you double-click them onto the automatic pours and fill them up. Then you hold there in case you kick them out. Then once they hit to the top, you just kick them off of that. Then you got the sanitizer lids, and right when you kick them off, you cap them. Then you go to the drill presser, and you hold it, and you press it, and it puts seals the lid on it. Then you put that one, and you got the other one. Then you go back, and you do that.
That's fucking crazy.
And you just do that.
I got you. Okay.
It's crazy.
So how did you get signature beers?
The brewer was the head brewer now of Fauna Flora, but he was the head brewer at Catawba. And when we worked together, he's from Cleveland, Ohio, and I was like, Columbus, Ohio. And so we just kept talking. We're like, yeah, man, we're just working like crazy here. And I was like, dude, if you ever get your own brewery, man, you should make the Urban Monk beer. And he was like, that'd be awesome. We're like, we should do that. And then one day we took a picture of him. He didn't know. It was like 2 a.m, and he was sitting on the malt bags, and he was like, had a beer, and the light was shining down, and he like looks like Moses. He's got like the long super Moses beard. And it's a
glorious beard.
It looks all like Renaissance-ian. I was like, take a picture. I was like, I'm gonna paint that. And like jokingly, I painted this 3x5 foot awesome picture of him, and he's like coming in on this wave of beer, and it's like ridiculously over cool.
Cool.
And so I was like, it's really messed up that I can't give you this painting and you can't afford to buy it. And it's a picture of yourself. I was like, you can't afford this, man. I'm sorry.
I love that you're able to put a price value on your own shit where you're like, I'm too expensive for you to touch things that I make.
Yeah, well, I'd be like, you
know. But I sit in the back of a factory and bottle a million beers by myself, where I don't have to because I can sell this painting for more than your salary.
Let me show you.
Yeah, like I'm just Forrest Gump over there. Like I just did it because I do it.
Oh yeah, I am going to touch it. I don't give
but,
a fuck.
But the
but you do what you want.
This is one of Marcus's works here.
That's pretty awesome.
But you gotta count the binary code in it.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I didn't even see that before. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's like magic. But the send that.
Awesome. Yeah.
It's got my wax seal on it, my little Urban Monk. Like,
is that that is over there?
Yeah, it's my little Urban Monk super great wax thing.
This is one of six?
Four. Yeah. That'll be that.
And they are going to be spread out probably all over the country, right, Marcus?
Well, yeah, they're in Savannah, Winston-Salem, and I don't know where else.
So, okay, you said you were born in Columbus. I was born in Columbus.
Oh, no, but here's the anyway. Okay. The original thing was, I was like, we have a particular set of skills. So if you ever get a brewery, you can get the painting if you can make me a beer. And so I took it with me when I did the independent art fair in Manhattan. And like, that thing was up there coasting with Moses. And I was like, what? I was like, you're in Manhattan. Me and Todd went to New York and, like, took that. But then, like, a year later, he got open Fauna Flora. And the first thing he called, he's like, dude, let's make the Urban Monk beer. So I delivered the painting. And, like, that was the first one. And it's, like, an Imperial Stout, 9.3, nice. With the first collaboration with Defiant Whiskey, which is another friend from Ohio who's, like, the distiller there. They took the oak spirals and dropped them in. Okay. So it's aged with Defiant Whiskey, and that shit is delicious. It's like
this sold really well, too, right?
They're going to bottle it, and I'm going to have the label.
Yeah.
So the spirals are made out of the barrels?
Well, no, they don't. That's what that is. It goes faster because they don't do the barrels. They cut these 18-inch oak spirals.
Yeah, but those
spirals.
Are soaked in bourbon?
Yeah, those are from the Defiant whiskey.
Cool.
So then they take those and you drop like 60 of them into the beer after it was done and aged them with that.
You just put it in a conditioning tank,
Yeah, and like.
What? So you're from Columbus?
Yeah, I'm like Central Ohio.
Okay, yeah.
Reynoldsburg, Pataskala, had a studio in Columbus.
Yeah, I'm from Cleveland. And then you said you moved from there down to Savannah.
Garfield Heights.
Oh, cool. Kent, Akron area for me. So then you moved to Savannah for school?
Yeah, I ran down south.
What happened that brought you to Winston?
Brian lives here, and I was like, what's up with here? I was on tour, and I was just checking out cities.
What's up with here?
That's a simple explanation that I can appreciate.
What's up with here?
What's up with this podunk place in the middle of fucking...
So do you have a home base?
This is actually...
taking the liking to Winston.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I'm gonna take a little bit of credit for that.
Dude, you.
No, I would say it'd be Karis One.
No, I said a little bit of credit.
Yeah. Like Karis One was here, and I was like, okay, well, that's way cool. I'm gonna check that out.
So, what do you think of the local breweries around here?
Everything sucks. Everything else sucks at the moment. I was there for two years. For 2 years, I did not pay for a single beer and drank like the best beer in the country. He just won a gold medal at the American Brewery in Denver. Like, he literally, like, the bottle I got was like the old gold medal. Fucking beer.
We're talking about Flaunta Florum.
Yeah. Like, I was like, well, huh, so you are, like, the best in the country. Like, that's why every other beer, because they'll make all the different styles, and you're like, well, that's just the amazingest type of that beer I've ever had. Like, he had the oyster wine, he's like, well,
and
that's
the oyster stout that I had today.
And it's ours. But he's, like, specialty in saisons, and I love saison, so he, like, brought out so many different saisons when he found out.
This guy's his own segue.
Yeah, no shit.
What?
I told you.
Then we got the Suburban Monk, which we created after our painting. Postmodern.
Is that you now?
What?
Because, like, we're not, like, in an urban area, so are you, like, the Suburban
Monk? Yeah, no, the Suburban, well, see, I'm, like, black and white, so the Suburban Monk was, like, the light beer. It's a saison, and it's based off of a watermelon barbecue, which is, like, my painting. It's, like, tattooed on my leg. Like, it looks like that. It's
Marcus,
like a watermelon
you,
with the barbecue.
Can you give a brief synopsis of barbecue, modern barbecueism?
Oh, it's just applying the culture of barbecue to the art world, where you, everybody can just go in and just you check it out, because you get, like, good food and eat, and you can say whatever the fuck you want, and that's it. And there's, like, no wine ever.
Was it, like, just doing art shows, like, over at barbecues?
Oh, no, like, you can combine them in different ways. Like, if you had an art show at a gallery, but you serve pulled pork and cupcakes, like, no one can take themselves seriously, so everybody, like, calms down. I'm eating a cupcake. I don't like that painting. Like, you can just say stuff, you know? It's like, it breaks the tension.
That's awesome.
Red Velvet and Van Gogh.
Yeah, people are a lot more relaxed if you're, like, eating a cupcake. You're like, well, this sucks. And you're like, yeah, I think so, too. I didn't know I wasn't going to put it in.
But how long before they turn it around and start having, like, craft barbecue sauce and get pretentious again?
No, well, they can do that, but I'll keep doing what I do.
All right, so the reason why...
Well, because they can't really barbecue that well.
I asked you that because the Urban Monk is the sole proprietor of modern barbecueism.
Yeah, I made that up.
When I saw that...
Actually, Brian named it.
Yeah, BK, right?
Brian Kiger, I give credit to.
He's the culprit for that one, if you read any of Marcus's books, I wish I had some more. I've actually lent them out.
Yeah, no, that's what happens.
Which is good. Maybe it'll come back as like a rustic scroll to me one day, but, you know.
Yeah, they're not really expensive. I get them by like the 20s and then just lose them.
So you self-published?
It's so much easier.
But they all say, he's always, and I'm like, what is this?
But I went to school for illustration and stuff, so I put together, like, I mean, it looks like a real book. Like, the book cover, like, I've got overstock of, like, 1,000 images. Like, I carved a linoleum block print of the cover, and then, like, that's the original drawing of the linoleum block. I just scanned in and then, like, did, like, paint bucket stupid Photoshop stuff with. But then the other side, I, like, put some filters over the linoleum print and manipulated it. And did that stuff because I went to school for it, so I'm like really good at it. I'm like, yeah, I was like, this looks like a real book. I was like, oh yeah, I went to school for that. Whoops.
Where can you get? Is it
available? It's
available
on Amazon.com. 60 to 90 days, it'll be available on Barnes and Noble and Borders book sites. In 90 days, it'll be international. No one will buy it, but it's out there.
Do you have a digital version or is it all hard copies?
I have to do like a Kindle reprogramming of it. Okay. If I do. So I don't really know if I'm going to do that.
I was just asking, because a lot of people who listen, the easiest way for them to get stuff is...
Yeah.
This is the first time we've actually had two guests that have been proclaimed as writers, which means...
I say this than that.
To my excitement, we can actually have a writer's panel today, which would be really cool.
I also published Third Shift Epiphanies, Chronicles of a Gas Attendant.
This is my favorite.
80 poems that I wrote while I was working third shift in a suburban gas station in the wintertime. For 3 days, I just wrote. It's awesome. I love it. This is one of the ones I lent out.
I read
that
it.
That one goes like everybody got that one. Everybody was like, "This is really good. It should write more of that." And I'm like,
it's good.
Whatever. I'm not working in a gas station anymore.
I lost my inspiration.
He told me I do a different genre.
I did it like a novel. It's whack, but it's a good story. It just needs like a professional editor and revised. But it's called Picasso's Marauders, and it's like this New York. It's ridiculous.
It's a heist book.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, it's a good story. It'd be a better film treatment than an actual book.
It is. I thought the same thing when I read that.
But that's actually what it is. It's more of a film treatment.
It would make an amazing movie.
Copyright it.
Get it out there.
Just publish it. I was like, well, that means I'll copyright that.
Yeah.
It's much easier to do that for $7 and actually go through
getting
the thing to be like, oh, yeah, just publish that song.
It's like reading
barcodes and all that stuff.
It's like reading an abridged version of a screenplay.
Yeah.
Because really? I'd written four of those. So it was like my transition. For NaNoWriMo, it took like a 30-day thing. I was like, okay, I'm going to write something for 30 days, 55,000 words. I don't know if I can do this because I was like at my hoarder mom's house, so I couldn't paint. So I just sat there for like 25 days and just freaked out and just wrote this ridiculous heist. Like, there's like Interpol involved and like the devil and God personified, and they're traveling around the world like Bill and Ted, and like there's like hitmen in Detroit. You're like, what's going on? And it's like The Shining to like a creative artist that's like, I don't know what's going on here. And then like wrapped it up in like this nice clean story. I was just like, bing, check that out.
Guys,
278 pages. What?
Jeff's the best housewife. Because my beer was empty. As soon as I set it down, you're just like cracking another one and like pouring a new beer.
I saw that.
that's why I keep it around, man.
It's the beer thing.
He whispered to me because I went for the Saison. He's like, I think this would be a better choice. But he points to the Rodenbach Sour. And I see what you're doing. It's like,
yeah.
We just went from the Shiner
to the
Dark.
Wait, is that what this is? Oh, did we move on or is this Shiner again?
No, we're
on to the Saison.
Okay.
I'm sorry, the Sour.
Yeah, this is the Flemish Red Brown.
This is it's Rodenbach Grand Cru, and I love it.
This is a fantastic beer.
Yo, it's got the aroma of a Whopper. I don't know, maybe that's just me. I hope I didn't just ruin this beer.
Dude, like Burger King?
Yeah, I just smelled it. It's just like Whopper with cheese in the face.
Oh, that's horrible.
Let me eat some nuts and try this again.
I don't want to shit on this brewery. We went to a local brewery in Danville.
They can't
Virginia,
not be honest.
And it's called...
It's like a Whopper.
I'm not
going to
say the name. But we went during class, and we had a couple of their beers, and they had a sour.
With cheese or without?
Sorry.
Is this a sour? It's the Whopper beer.
It's the Whopper.
When the girl gave us all the beer, she said... Don't smell it, just drink it.
Yeah.
Now, if you know that, if you
then everybody's
going to
fucking smell it.
It smelled like rotten milk.
The drinking instructions should have been best served from a bottle.
Yes, exactly. Because you're not going to smell it. It was god-awful.
You a little Whopper in there?
I'm like, I'm getting no Whopper.
Really?
Wait, I thought you liked sours.
You do?
I think it's fun.
Oh, I was going to say.
It's good. It's not bad.
I'm not done.
I am definitely editorializing.
And I know he's not done because I can see the light shining through his red Solo cup.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, we could measure that. So what is the Solo cup thing? You talking about the
Solo cup thing. Okay.
It's a go cup.
Savannah, it's a go cup.
It's called a to-go cup in Savannah.
Yeah,
because
you can pour anything in your to-go cup and take it.
Yeah, because you can walk in the streets in Savannah. Yeah.
I have a tattooed to-go cup on my leg.
I call them codeine cups.
Codeine cups. Seriously, I got a to-go cup on my leg.
That's awesome. With a little skull and crossbones on it.
Yeah, pirate shit.
All right, so the reason why we're up, because Marcus, we were talking about this today. He was telling about in China, they're throwing American parties.
Those American parties. I want to throw one.
Oh, I've heard about that. Where they do the American frat movie party.
There's beer pong and then beer bongs.
Like they try to reenact
NBA jerseys,
which is kind of awesome. I mean, we do the same thing. to them, we're American.
No, but I mean, we've got toga parties,
and we do, like, we're Irish today.
Okay, yeah.
It seems a lot more respectable, though, than the...
No, they got, like, Britney Spears and, like, Bill Cosby quotes. It's, like, weird. It's, like, bootleg of USA stuff. It's, like, good, but they have the red-to-go cups. Like, that's one of their major things, is you have to have, like, the red-to-go cups. Like, they have definitely... It's, like, Bart Simpson, red-to-go cups, Britney Spears, and the NBA.
Yeah, yeah.
You see, that's America in a nutshell.
That's a, see, and I just, and I was like, isn't that just crazy how people, that's how people look at us.
And the ventriloquist comedian, Jeff Dunham.
Jeff Dunham. Oh, God, God, he is terrible.
Yes. It's a new, like, carrot head and whatever
this
guy.
This is how people look at us, culturally.
Yeah. That's terrible. Yeah. I mean.
Red Solo cups and fucking
yellow school buses is a big thing. I know, like, when I talk to international people, they're like, wait, do you guys actually have yellow school buses? Like, yeah. Like, I can't believe it. And squirrels, too, because squirrels are North American.
Yeah.
Squirrels freak them out, too. Mm-hmm.
You ever heard a German person try to say squirrel? It's hilarious. It's hilarious. Huh. Sorry, I just read.
Whoa. Well, let me speed dial my friends in Germany real quick.
Squirrel. No, I'm not even kidding. There's an 8-minute video of an American exchange student in Germany trying to get
just some kid from Jersey with a speech impediment
trying to get her classmates in Germany to pronounce squirrel, and none of them can do it. She's like, pronounce this word, and she shows them the word and they go squirrel, and you're just like, all right, it's apparently it is that hard.
I'm trying to picture this.
A squirrel?
This. American party.
American party.
Woo!
I want to throw one.
In an Oriental
my goodness.
Setting.
It would be really interesting.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot more like Japanese and American.
Do they have like cheeseburgers and buffalo wings?
It's weird, yeah.
Everybody's wearing a fucking LeBron jersey.
Yeah. Like, it's like weird. It's like they all have like two different NBA players that they know. And you're like, whoa,
Kobe.
Yeah. They're like, new Britney Spears video, awesome.
There's like 13 girls walking around with shaved heads.
I also like how it's not actually.
But they know about these cups. They know about it. They know that's what we do.
That's a big thing.
Is that what they think we drink out of? I guess so.
Well, every American drinking video.
We're drinking out of
it.
Yeah. Like, also, consequently, for the listeners,
they're not breaking their backs to go drink out of champagne flutes. They're getting plastic.
So I would say for the listeners at home that this is
repurposing.
The most swank podcast we've had in a while. We have the red carpet laid out. We got like
a legitimate red carpet.
Four-sided couch that we're sitting on, basically, and we're drinking like craft beer out of red Solo cups. So brought up that conversation,
and all the beer are in these little like almost wine containers with ice in them.
They're still classic. They're pots.
They're not pots.
So do you have a
pots of metal,
Marcus? Do you have a home base that you're out of right now, or are you just kind of?
I'm on tour.
So you just belong to the universe right now.
I've been going with the current for like a while. I ended up in East Glacier in a ninja suit looking for grizzly bears at one time.
Being dead serious too.
No, I know. That's
a designer ninja suit.
Dude, you live the most charmed fucking life.
He's actually doing it, man. He is fucking.
But
doing
I make
it.
A lot. I still made like 300 paintings this year and published a book and made 2 beers and track jackets in 4 different cities. All of this without even like a home base. I have like this desktop computer from 1989. I'm like, hey guys, can I use your internet? Do you have dial up? Because like I got, and everybody's like, what are you doing? I'm just like, I don't know. But yeah, I made.
So how are you traveling around? Are you like taking
Space Odyssey 2006, Space Odyssey Honda, rocks minivan is the shit. It's got a DVD player in it.
Slow profile,
nice.
You know,
nice.
Yeah.
It's got to do the
it can
the
hold,
DVD player is more advanced than the fucking computer that
it can hold. It can hold 180 paintings in it in my entire mobile command unit studio. Like I could if I had my art supplies in my minivan, I could literally have a studio built here in 15 minutes, a painting done by the end of the night, and probably a buyer lined up the next day.
That's so awesome.
If you're able to do all this and like sell these paintings.
Also, can we pause real quick? This guy wrote a book about this, by the way. Just want to restate that again. Anyway, yeah. Which is awesome.
Have you not considered buying a laptop? Just
like, no, that's my 2015 like on my like goals. I'm gonna get my own computer.
Yes, I sell these paintings that are so valuable that people can't buy them, and I can't afford my own laptop.
Yeah, and they show up all over, but yet I can like design like I designed a website. I made my website. I think it's a priority thing for him.
I just made that shit.
UrbanMonk.ninja. I just made that. Yeah.
Dot ninja?
Yeah, there's no dot com. Dot ninja.
That's Urban awesome. Monk. Wait, is it actually dot ninja?
Yeah, it's like you look up on your smartphone and like tap
it. Yeah, no, they made it so you can.
Dot ninja?
Yeah.
I like, GoDaddy notified me like ahead of time and I was like, beep, boop, bop. There. I was like, what? 3 days you're offering the one called ninja? I was like, I'm on that. I like even text, see if it worked. And like, no one had it. And I like waited and they're like, 1201. I was like, UrbanMonk.ninja. Boom. And it's like, you own UrbanMonk.ninja. I was like, no one even knows this exists. Because I do art ninja like.
Yeah, no shit, man.
Yeah. That is awesome.
And then you go to like the about it page, because I made it so I can put whatever on it. it has actual pictures of me in my art ninja suit that I wore to the Manhattan Art Fair because it was Halloween weekend. So I was like, well, the art ninja, what would the art ninja wear if he was going to Manhattan for an art show during Halloween weekend? So I designed this like custom designer ninja suit that matched my paintings and like went up there and was like, what?
Yep, that's you sitting on a roof in a fucking ninja costume.
So how long have you said you were on tour for like a year?
Yeah. Past year? Since basically last November. Like I can't, like once the machines took over my job at Catawba, like August I quit, I went to Ohio.
This guy actually got replaced by technology.
Why are you laughing at me? No, just not funny at all.
You just said, like, you're like, yeah, after Terminator turned in his application, there was no place for me.
They spent like $1 million to replace me. They named the machine after me.
You were literally living in
the market.
No, you are a super. No, they named the machine you.
Yeah.
No, you.
Because it has, like, kind of more air percent. I was like, you. Like, I messed up 3 beers in, like, a 2 month period. I can, like, probably tens of thousands of beers and, like not a single drop, dead, mistake, like, just, like, for, like, a month. I'm just like, hey, guys, what's up? Look at all these stacks of beers. I just can't 12 hours straight. What? So and then I'd say, hang art. Then I come in next week and there'd be, like, 10 more paintings up. They're like, what are you doing? I
said, I don't know. So the machine is named Marcus and you're better than the machine.
Yeah, I was more efficient. Sure. I did not cost $1 million.
Okay, what were you going to say?
You are the literal embodiment of a grocery store worker's nightmare. You got replaced by a fucking machine.
Yeah, yeah.
A huge machine, like a huge Terminator. It's worse. Not like a little one. Like people from all over the country came in to make custom parts, and like I'm still working next to the machine, and like it's like it would mess up. Like the first time they turned it on, it went through like 6 kegs of mistakes, like pallets and pallets. Like it made like 100 times more mistakes than the 2 years I worked there in one day. Like it's like, well, wow, that was probably $70,000 of alcohol. I almost dropped a can. like I actually had to weigh them when they came off. I was the one that was quality controlling the machine because it was doing like this. So I was picking
them up. You had to train the replacement.
I had to train the machine.
To train his replacement. Yes.
I had to train the machine. Like it's, it had the. To be sellable, it had to be 365 kilograms to 373. If it was 381, it was overpouring, anything under. So by weight, I'd done so many, I'd pick them up, I'd be like 342, 368. They're just like looking at me, and they're like, are you even weighing these anymore? I'm like, you check. I'm like, you can check my math. But they're like, holy crap, it is. They're like, he has been doing this that long. Because like every pour I did was 100% accurate, so I knew how much it should weigh just by weight.
Like, just by feel?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was like straight up ninja style.
You live the craziest goddamn life.
That's a tattoo artist I apprenticed. And then I tattooed, and then I ran a shop, and then I owned a shop, and then I just retired in like a 1 year period. It's like,
Oh my god. Done!
My original question was going to be, what's the craziest thing that's happened to you on tour? But I'm going to restate it and say, what's the story you don't get tired of telling?
All of them.
What's the, okay, so what's the one story that we have to hear?
I would say, like, holding my, like, my Bolivian gas mask bag that I put my iPad and earphones in. Like, I guess strapping on my ninja suit and having my bear spray holster concoction with, like, the safety off. And, like, having it play Rage Against the Machine and, like, going up. And then I'm realizing, I'm like, I am in bear country and I am hiking alone. And I was like, what if I do see a grizzly bear? And I freak out. I was like, they will kill you. It's not like a dog. You can't just, like, make a noise. You're like, go away, dog. You're like, yeah. I was like, oh. And, like, you don't see grizzly bears ever. And, like, you see one, you're like, whoa. And so I just picked this random hill that I was going to hike up, and you can't see the other side. So it's like, what if I get there and it just happens to be a family of grizzly bears? I was like, what do I do? But, like, Rage played and saved me.
Rage Against the Machine saved my goddamn life.
Tom Morello equals bear spray.
Yeah. Yeah, that plus bear spray, but yeah.
Zach De La Roca apparently coos bears.
Yeah, they all like to
sleep. Yeah, like ninja's shoes. I had an all going on.
They must love
him. Just walks up and starts nuzzling him, like, oh, I love Zach so much. Zach's the best.
Grizzly bear. Fuck yeah, man. That's what I think about every time I rip apart an animal.
Dude, yeah, take the goddamn power back. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Take the power back. It's not gorilla radio. It's fucking grizzly radio.
Grizzly radio.
I have a feeling that we could actually make a music video or a web series based on grizzly bears and their reactions to Rage Against the Machine songs.
No, they stay away. You're supposed to play noise. So I had that on my iPad. I was like, Rage Against the Machine, yes. Let's do this. And it's just like, hi.
Can I ask what album
you
started out with?
Ooh, that's good.
From Rage?
Yeah.
On the Trip?
On the Trip.
Which one with the bullet in your head, whatever. I don't really know the words to anything. I was like, yeah, Rage. And I make up words, so I don't really know any of the songs.
Bullet in your head.
Sons of the Ones.
Give me another one.
Powers of the Sun.
Super. Oh, that's
Eyes of the Sun.
Isn't that that's the first job?
Right? Oh, that'd be Evil Empire.
No, that's Evil Empire. Empire.
That's
Evil Empire.
Empire.
Evil Empire.
There it is.
And is it Evil Empire?
This is for the people
who
love this.
Yeah.
First album? Yeah.
Rage's first album was actually self-titled.
My favorite.
Well, no, actually, it was non-titled.
My favorite was their last one they did live in New York.
Yeah, first album was
that,
Rage
Against
the Machine.
Like, all their classics.
Second album was
Evil Empire.
Need to Google.
Right.
Evil Empire.
We have a person who does
and then,
this.
No, I got it. No, let me take it.
I'm going to let it go. I'm going to look it up, though.
We're just going to correct you if you're wrong.
Yeah, first album, Rage Against the Machine, self-titled. Second album, Evil Empire. Third album, Battle of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Fourth album,
the cover album, right?
Renegades of Funk.
God, Renegades was such a good cover album.
Such great. It's one of the best cover records that I'm privy to.
In all honesty, it's probably my favorite cover album.
You know what? It is. It's not my favorite cover album, but it's my favorite serious cover album.
Mm-hmm.
Because most cover albums are kind of, you know, like Goldfinger did Darren's Coconut Ass, and they did like 99 Red Balloons. It was kind of a joke. But, like, Rage Against the Machine, we're like, no, these are songs that we fucking feel need to be...
Dude,
that
the,
we
cover
need to
of, the cover of Maggie's Farm makes my dick hard.
Yeah.
That's,
oh, my God. Oh, that's the one with the baby floating in the pool?
That's Nirvana.
Maggie, all right, look.
Not an album
can
cover.
Can I make a cover song? Can I open this can of worms?
Let's go for it.
And just say that
sorry,
Dylan was put on this planet to have other people play his songs.
Yes.
Better.
Oh, I completely agree.
Absolutely.
All
right.
Jimi Hendrix was put on this planet to prove that other people should play Dylan's songs.
Yeah.
Hey, man, bro. That's it, though. That's what it is.
Bob Dylan made every popular song in the last 60 years.
You look at the credits, it's like Diane Warren co-written by Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
That's just everything.
I actually, and this is just something that this just got brought up, cover songs, I want to propose to Chris, I think that Time Machine Drive-By should cover the Offspring song, Get a Job. Why don't you get a job?
Yeah, that would
be
so ironic.
Wouldn't it be funny?
It's super ironic.
Because no one in our band has a job.
Exactly. That's the beauty. That's right.
Well, Rob has to sing that.
That's right. Yeah.
Because that can't be a
the juxtaposition,
sure,
man.
Yeah. My friend's got a girlfriend and he hates that bitch.
Yeah.
I love that fucking song. It actually got stuck in my head for a whole night the other night at work. And I kept walking outside to the smoking area singing it. And all the people that were outside were like, why does he keep talking about a bitch girlfriend? Like, he must have a really, really tough time with his girlfriend. I was like, no, it's a song. It's okay.
I think Offspring's kind of tricky to cover because there's a lot of...
there's synthy stuff in it.
Well, really, yeah, but no, not from a technical aspect, but like there's a lot of baggage and perceptions around who Offspring is. And I think they're one of the... Even when the Rage Against the Machine, unfortunately...
Do you know how old that album is?
Which one?
It came out in 1992.
Which one did?
The self-titled.
Jesus. Like, yeah, that makes sense.
You know...
That is 22 years old.
Yeah.
That's it. God, dude.
That makes...
Rage Against the Machine's first album can drink.
Yeah.
That is bonkers to me.
Man, that's... I love that, man. That's
old rock.
And it's still relevant.
It's still good, yeah. Fucking relevant. We're still talking about it today. Not anybody in this... Nobody in this room, when Rage was brought up, was... Eh. Nobody
were like, what?
Everybody leaned in. Yeah, let's talk about this band because to me, Led Zeppelin was the Led Zeppelin. Rage Against the Machine was Led Zeppelin of the 90s.
Yeah.
With a voice. They weren't just talking about chicks.
Well, it was
still
weird.
Relevant now.
They're still relevant.
It was weird because the like if you looked further into the whole spiel about Rage, there's this really weird controversy with Zach Bilroke stealing that name from an old indie publisher. And like there's this big controversy over it. Yeah.
I haven't either.
There was a guy who was an indie publisher who had an indie record label, record label and an indie magazine. And in one of the magazines, he put an article called Rage Against the Machine. And he actually had Zach on his label. And what ended up happening was Zach was like, oh man, I want to name a song Rage Against the Machine. And the guy was like, yeah man, sure. And then Zach disappeared for like 2 years. he peaced out and left. And then like 2 years later, Rage Against the Machine, the band surfaced and the guy lost his fucking nut. He was just like, are you goddamn kidding me? You are literally doing everything I'm talking about not doing by making a band that you're putting on basically Warner Brother Records, which is fucking absurd. And I mean, like, I understand, like, how, you know, you can interpret that situation any way you want to, but, like, it's just, to me...
I think the guy had a little bit too much bitterness about it.
I agree, but, like, it's just a weird dichotomy to think about Rage Against the Machine dicked over a guy that was really, like, really serious about that idea. Of Rage Against the Machine.
Well, if he said that he could use that for a song title, he wasn't that serious about the phrase.
Yeah, it was more or less the fact that Zach took one of his ideas and turned it into basically a corporate sponsorship.
A household name.
Yeah, and the guy was not stoked about it. Sure. But like, regardless, I love Rage. I really do. I think the band is fantastic. It's got a lot of persistence. It's got a lot of heart to it.
They play neat music.
They do. They play neat music.
And I also don't see
is my fucking dude. I love
that
guy.
I think he used that name. I don't know the guy,
I've never hung out with Zach.
He's a douchebag.
I haven't. But, you know, like, I don't think... I think the way what he meant when he titled the band that... was probably good intention.
Absolutely.
Because if anybody
actually Zach
Gilbert.
So, and that's like, you hear the story about the Clash got their name because they just opened up a newspaper and the first two words they saw were the Clash.
Yeah.
I'd be like the guy who wrote that newspaper article getting mad about that. In a way.
I think it's funny because Rage Against the Machine decided
that, like,
to
the initial the initial phrasing was supposed to be like a statement of its own. Do you get your band? I mean, Eve 6 got their band name from the X-Files.
Do you want
to
do that?
Well, yeah, it's also, it's funny to me because the whole idea of Rage Against the Machine is to, it's a really
sell
weird...
jeans.
Sure, why not?
JNCO jeans.
I don't see a problem with it. The reason I was to get bad mouth for actually having other people that want to sell, use their stuff. Yeah. Like, you know what? You'd be happy if some place was like, you know what? We think your stuff is cool enough that we want to give you money just to use your stuff. If it was like, you're an artist, you shouldn't do that. I'm like, no. If Sprite wanted to put one of my paintings on a Sprite bottle, I'd be like, that's awesome.
Well,
Send me a check.
Well, I just think it's really funny to think about. I think it's funny to think about the idea that Rage Against the Machine.
With hype.
The whole idea behind it is it's such a weird give and take with it because to get the message out there, you have to break the idea of the message.
Yeah,
which is really interesting.
All right.
Because to get your albums to sell that much, you have to sell to a major label, which is what you're raging against.
Money's
that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
It's a really weird dichotomy.
Let's abstract this a little more. I think this is a good group of people to talk about this stuff because I know when me and Tim were playing in music together, we had a very, like, we started playing music because we want to play music, we want to be successful.
You just pull the
we
string
wanted
off
to.
And it'll take the wax off.
We're talking about opening up this. It's a wax.
Take
it's
the string off.
It's a wax coated.
Yeah,
we have to
take the G string off.
Which they
the
do.
Will just
which
fall
they.
Out.
I just want to throw this out
there.
Because
it's like tied around it, so it's just
they do this in house right before. Right when you buy this, it's called a bullet.
So they fill it up with
wax
in front of you.
Yeah, and even with their growlers, they wax the lids right there for you. It's great.
That's awesome.
That cuts through a lot of legality
of open containers.
Well, that's what we were talking about before the podcast.
Yeah.
I think everybody should do it.
So, but when me and Tim were
see, it goes all the way up, so it takes the cap off too, so you don't have to strain with that.
Interesting. We just passed that growler law here in town, and I mean, this would just completely alleviate any problems.
Because the twine is what makes it easy access.
There's no question.
Yeah, you really have to. I didn't open this. There's wax on it.
That was a 20-second process for me to take that off. Yeah. So, you know, whereas with a regular growler, and the way some of these guys, this is like the militant state that the police are in Winston right now, they're going to check your growlers because they're assholes, the majority of them. And, you know, if there's
which can become a problem because, like, at Stella, they pack
you like writing. If they feel like dumping a little bit out for the homies and writing you a ticket, they might just do that.
And at Stella, they do their growlers with CO2, so they don't have oxygen.
It's the counter pressure,
right? Yeah, so it puts counter pressure in the bottle so that if you don't open it, it stays fresh theoretically as long as like a bottle would. And so if the cops are checking it, then they're damaging the product that you just paid for too.
Well. In their defense, they do have cameras. A lot of them are wearing cameras now.
They've got like the weird GoPro things, like strapped on like the sunglasses.
Even the green drawer thought
that. Intermissionary break.
Are we taking an intermission?
Are we taking an intermission?
Yeah, let's take an intermission. Yeah.
We'll get back to this beer when we come back.
And we're back. And I think, are we doing the beer thing? Are we doing that?
Yeah, let's do the beer thing.
Brad.
Getting deep.
Tim, you want to intro this beer?
Yeah. This is Fontaflor. This is the brewing company.
It's a brewery.
It's a brewery.
That's what we were talking about with your buddies doing the beer.
You're right. It is a brewery, and I'm absolutely wrong because nothing about this place or this guy is corporate. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It actually flies in the face of it, and this would be taking over the state right now if the guy wasn't modest and humble. Talk about this guy a little bit because he's. You know him.
He's
a friend.
Todd B.
I just met him today.
Todd Bruner something or other.
He was on a ladder, and he was fixing... He was on a ladder when I walked in.
Okay.
Doing work.
Todd. Yeah, he's a brewer. He's a brewer for Fauna Flora, and he was a brewer for Catawba Valley Brewing Company in Morganton, North Carolina.
And he went rogue.
Well... For 4 years.
Ooh, that's interesting. They have a local carrot IPA.
Fauna Flora?
Yeah.
Oh, his concoctions are ridiculous. Well,
so they're trying to be like the Wicked Weed.
No. He's
completely
like,
original.
I'm saying like in that sense of just being super original and being out there.
Making a name for making new things.
Yeah.
He pushes like recipes and experimental processes, but like right now, is like everything he does is like from North Carolina. Like he
sounds
found
super local.
Yeah, he found that's like awesome. A kiwi farm in North Carolina, so he made a kiwi sour.
He's working on a kiwi sour saison.
That sounds awesome. He just said my three favorite words.
He, he made one with beets and called it Beets, Rhymes, and Life. He does like the hop beer, which is like his signature one, which is super awesome. The one they just started bottling, and they're like these crazy, like wine bottle looking wax tipped, and they're additioned. And like, he has the one that he won the gold medal for in Denver,
right?
So he's like nationally known. I think like a couple when I worked with him at one point, I think he like was like holding a discussion round table on like new recipes. Like, he's like super awesome.
That's cool.
He's like, yes, please, sir.
I'll just give you.
No, that's there's some already in there.
Of that?
Yeah.
You don't mix them.
Yeah, there's.
Don't mix them.
No, there isn't. That's not mixed. That's.
Oh, you already mixed
them. Earth Ninja.
What do you think he was doing when we were outside smoking? No, he came in here and got beer.
I saw there was some missing.
Yeah, I can't like not drink rally. That beer. It's like the best beer.
What I gathered from.
So he makes the best beer in the world, basically.
Yeah.
And we collaborated on two different beers because I'm the Urban Monk, so I traded a painting of him for. To make a beer, and we made a beer, and it tastes delicious. It's called the Urban Monk. And then we made another beer based on a painting called the Suburban Monk. And that is that.
So what I gathered from talking to this guy today in a brief...
But he's awesome.
...window conversation was that he's a saison guy. That's his thing. And he was almost... he was almost like distraught about the fact that he's won all these awards for his stouts. He's like, I don't want to be known in the beer world
as the stout guy,
for stouts.
Yeah,
but it, you know, and that was the oyster stout that I tried.
Yeah,
and he made an imperial that he won. What was the award he won?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
It's like gold. It means it was the best one, and I'm like, congratulations.
He's been in a lot of foodie magazines. He was in one. I can't remember the name of it now because I don't read those, but it was essentially like the Reader's Digest of food.
So it's the flora. Yeah. You said it was flora fauna.
Yeah, that's the
fauna flora.
Fauna flora. So fauna flora says does it have a name? Do you know
that one's?
Oh yeah, this is the Human Rumor Saison.
The Human Rumor Saison. Okay,
and this is their. This is one that actually won their classic Irish style stout, dry stout, won a gold medal.
Along smells amazing.
Along with Black Mountain Pisgah Brewing.
Pisgah.
Yeah, Pisgah's really good. Yeah. And Asheville's Wicked Weed.
Yeah. Yeah, we always used to hang out then with the beer rallies.
All right, so this is what he you know, this is his thing. Saison.
And they're like small batch, like. I mean, it's like literally the size of this.
That's why I was asking, do you know how many barrels their system
is? Oh, it's like super small. Because, like, I mean, like, yeah, that's why they can't. They
so, like, a
10
barrel system or something?
Because, like, his brewing system is, like, this big. Like, he's got the barrels, the cleaners, the kegger, like, all the stuff. And then, like, they move the extra kegs into the other room next door. But it's, like, I mean, it's in the mix. Like, you're like, hey, look, there's the brew station. It's, like, in your face. And it's just, like, this little, like, Willy Wonka style thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you can see everything that happens, but then, like, the most amazing beer in the world, like, pops out. It's like, he's been to, like, 50-something different beers. He's only been open a year. He's just, like, he's only made the hot beer
over again.
Needless to say, he moves beer.
But that's, the best part is he said December 2nd they're going to make the second batch of the Urban Monk. So, like, I'm going to postpone my stay once I'm in, like, Nashville or wherever I'm at, Memphis or something, and come back to Morganton and set up my time-lapse camera. Because, he said, dude, if you're in here in December 2nd, like, we're going to remake the Urban Monk. So, like, you can be in on the mixing process. And I want to be,
awesome.
So I want to capture the fact that it's, like, it's not just a namesake. Like, I mean, we collaborate. We, like,
so you want to be there
and talked about this beer. And, like, then when it happened, we were just like, bam, let's, like, do this.
So Saison has something that I think is somewhat unique to some Saisons, and I look for, is that this is super drinkable. This is, like, a sessionable Saison, but it still has that nice, like fresh, grassy top to it without being, like, super hoppy and, you know, like a palate.
It uses hay in some of the Saisons.
Do they get their malt from Riverbend?
Sounds familiar.
I'm sure if he's staying very local, Riverbend
that's his malt bags, yeah.
And then it's gone, right? That's what I'm saying. It's great session beer because it's like super kick in the mouth, and then it's just it doesn't stay.
And it's not, it finishes it just clean. There's like
yeah, it's and it's not like super.
It's refreshing.
Floral.
It's refreshing, which it's is not, rare for like
yeah,
a super.
It's not, that, and it's not like good. You know. I got introduced to saisons at farmhouse ales via the Hennepin Omegang. Omegang Hennepin. That's
yeah.
That's my favorite beer.
And that's what got me. And you know, and this is it was one of those things where we weren't selling it at the bar. The people down here, the East Coast, they weren't privy to it. Nobody cared. Nobody knew. Nobody cared to try. And so, and this was last winter, and I'm sitting outside in the cold with a lot of my friends, and they're all drinking stouts and porters and Bellhavens, and I'm drinking this cloudy saison with this fluorescent fucking glow,
yeah.
You know. And what is this guy drinking? It's a saison, you know. And it was, but it was, it had a lot more floral quality to it, and this doesn't, which I appreciate.
Yeah, no, it's like a, it's like a,
it's a softer one. He made some. Nice.
Yeah. I like the. It gives me
bitter beer burps.
It feels like an early fall seasonal, like a...
Yeah, like that...
Mid-September.
I was thinking, yeah, like it's just starting to get a little nippy outside.
It's like a bitter beer burp, and it tastes like Juicy Fruit instead of, like, an old frog fart. You're like, that's all
right. I like a beer burp.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I'm sorry, but if it's a saison, like, potpourri. It's, like, so much better.
I especially love the frog...
Sorry. There's a good amount of hops there, though.
You can definitely taste them.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
There was three of us, and we tried, between the three of us, we tried one of everything, whether it was a sample or a full beer.
How many different beers did you guys do, right?
I think they had 12 on tap.
So, like, oh, a decent amount.
Yeah.
And he just, like, pumps them out. He just, like, keeps,
I can give
like
you,
a Bible book of, like,
which is also crazy. If he pumps them out that fast and it's that small, that this beer is...
It's probably relatively fresh.
Let me give you guys.
Oh yeah, this came out with like less than a month. This is like all recent.
Yeah.
Like,
how long have they been open?
Let me give you just a
1 year. Like
it's
last,
1 year.
Like last.
That's awesome.
Like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Was like the birthday, and they had 5 gallons of the Urban Monk they had saved because they brewed that in February and released it. And like I came up from Savannah, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna get like some, and like. They fucking drank that shit in like an hour. Like, dude, so many people got wasted. He's like, we don't even know who these people were. They showed up, they drank all the Urban Monk, all the locals were pissed. We're like, dude, we were getting, where was their beer at? They're like, I don't know, these people showed up, they're all trash now. Like, so many people got, because it's like 9.3 and it's like a light, it's like Guinness, but not as heavy. And then it's like with the Defiant Whiskey, it's like this strong, like, whiskey. It's like gorgeous. And like, they all drank it. Drank it all. Blacked out, had a bunch of fun. You could tell who drank. You're like, yeah, you had some, didn't you? Get it.
That's the great thing about North Carolina is we're getting so many awesome breweries, and I don't think people really realize that.
We are.
Because, like, you know, you have your Wicked Weed, you have Fonda Flora.
They're the sleeper, man.
Foothills is awesome.
They are the sleeper.
They're not going to grow.
Yeah, Highland. I mean, New Belgium is starting to do stuff.
And
here.
Even and then you know you have Oscar Blues coming here. You have New Belgium coming here. You have Sierra Nevada coming here.
Highland Oatmeal Porter.
That's fantastic.
I was actually when I was in Chicago, just a friend of a guy's commissioning for. It's like, yeah, let's go to our friend's house. He's barbecue, like chicken. She's a postmodern barbecue. Like, just come see how we
like, postmodern
oh my god, what the?
He was like, let's just go. You know, he's like,
can I name a record postmodern barbecue?
No, I had the rights to that.
Okay, really
you can if you like pay me royalties.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
hey, you can't afford his painting, so
you can't afford his terminology.
Like I said, man, here and here.
This might be a particular
set of skills, like I'm trying to compose this score that I can produce when I like get the voiceover done on like the War of Art book and translate it to vinyl because I want my book on vinyl.
Oh, so you're doing like an audiobook version of it too?
But then I'm going to put together a score because I need like the 13 chapters and I have to write the score because then once I get to that, then I can go do the like series paintings, which will be the film because I don't have the score and the narrative done and I just like click and link them together and then I made a movie.
So is that your is that like your main project right now? Is trying to move forward on that, or are you just kind of?
Mine is moving forward on everything.
Okay,
I'm on a multi-tier front. Like I'm also doing right now. I'm doing prints of every single sports and college in the country.
Okay,
Like, so what does that entail?
Like, if you're like, oh, you have a favorite NFL team, I've got a print or a painting for that. If you're like, oh, I like any Division I school, I've got a print for that. Like, if you're like, oh, I want a t-shirt of that, I've got like a t-shirt or a hoodie or any size, color, anything you want on my magical website. And then, yeah, and then I'll have...
Dot Ninja.
But like my new major goal is, since I wrote the book way ahead of schedule and everything's all weird because it's done, I need a new project to obsess over, and it's going to be pressing it to vinyl. Because, like, I took some music composition and can do some weird shit. So I was like, you know what? I want to produce a score for the voiceover. And then, like, once I can, like, link those up, then, like, I can, like, submit that to, like, the, like, Grammys. I can submit that to film festivals and stuff because it'll be an animation, because they'll put, like, stop motion, like, time-lapse cameras and, like, video feed and just weird. It'll just be, like, this weird thing. And I'm like, yeah, I made one. Like, yeah, because I want to make a film. Someone make one. Everybody check that out.
So, to get back to what we were talking about before the intermission a little bit, I think this is an interesting group of people because I think we're all creative but kind of come at it from a slightly different perspective.
I'd say in a lot of ways there's a very, very different angle at which we all, at least from what I've gathered, that we all kind of approach
right.
creative process.
And so what I was setting up for beforehand was...
Mine's ghetto.
It's been a process, man.
Mine is so ghetto.
So when me and Tim were starting to play music and growing as musicians early on in our career, we had a big amount of time where we talked about, like, okay, well, we started playing music because we want to be successful and we want to be known for it, but, like, how much...
You want the ego part? See, I don't want that at all.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. So, but how much success is a good thing? Like, is okay. So, having money and being able to feed it back into projects is obviously a good thing. But do you want to deal with the fame? And then is that selling out, or is that just like finding your platform? And so, I guess that's kind of like what I want to propose to you guys. And I guess Marcus, you can start first, since you guys start with that idea. It's like, what would, like, if you are as how successful do you want? How would you define your pinnacle of success moving forward?
Man. Well, if I could get this, like, movie theater that's, like, 50 grand, if I can make, like, 200 grand this year, I'm going to put this out there because, like, I like putting my goals on public record.
Okay. Marcus wants to buy a movie theater in the hood here in Winston.
Yes. And I want to make it, like, this compound because, like, I get different venues that I transform and throughout this time, and, like, I never thought about it, and then that one happened. But, like... Basically, I'm pulling all of my resources of all the projects I've ever done, and like I work so fast now that I'm pulling it under one umbrella. So like I've always messed with like film, and I taught kids art, and I went to art school for like 20 years of academic training. So I've like know everything, like pretty much. I'm gonna put that on record. I know everything about art.
I don't want that ego, but I have that ego.
I like to be humble, but when it like
but happens, not.
I like to be humble. I just don't like to be contested when they're like, oh, okay. You really don't know, and I'm like, actually, I pretty much know everything. Things I don't know, I have a friend that I go in contact, and then I learn it from them, and then I learn that, and that's how that works out. But no, it's like. I would like to, like, without any fame, just, like, make art everywhere and, like, make an income off of that so I can continue to create bigger projects because things are costing more money than I want to build.
Right.
But I don't want to have to rely on people buying stuff. So if I have things that are, like books, like things that people will buy and read and are functional, then that can supply, like, my crazy ideas. Like, I can be like, I'm going to paint a water ski an alien. And, like, that's okay.
And so you're not... At no point are you really, like, looking for more of a market than you need to be able to kind of
well,
no, the
this,
next project?
This year was actually that. After the show in New York, and, like, there's 186 artists. I was the best one there. Like, the old school New York artists would pull me out. They'd be like, dude, this shit is rocking, and you need to just get out there and let people know you exist. And I was like, well, I don't want to be part of the art world. So I just, like, went on tour. I would just, like, set up a network of people. I went into a town in a month to 2 months, stayed there, just started making art. I was like, I'm just going to, like, what are you doing? I was like, I'll get some shows. Don't worry about that. And, like, 2 weeks later, I'd start getting gigs lined up. And then in the third week, they're like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I got to go down to downtown and do it. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, yeah, every Wednesday I'm going to be painting piano. So I'd, like, acquire I'd be like, yeah, I got this IT gig. They just sent me $100, and I got to go paint for a bunch of computer geniuses. And they're like, what? I'm like, I don't know. I just Craigslist these things, and I'm so professional and upfront about it. I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. This is my rate. Let's go. And boom, boom, boom. And then I'm like, look around. I'm like, oh, I'm over my head.
So is that how you get – that's how you get connections for that stuff? Is you just kind of post it on the internet and be like, look, this is what I'm doing. Who needs something?
No, I actually go and find people that need stuff. I just hunt people down.
Do you just like knock on doors, or do you try to network in bars? Or
Well, the bar is my office. Breweries, like Laird and Savannah, like bar scene and stuff. Like I go to the – like people are more relaxed with alcohol. And like I can just – like in Savannah, I used to make like money for the week. And I'd put on my painter pants and go into the bar. And they'd be like, oh, you paint? I'm like, yeah. Can you pay my dog? And I'm like, $75. And they're like, $25 deposit. They're like, boom, $25. It's like, sweet, drinking money. You have your painting tomorrow. And like, they get their dog painting, and like, I got groceries. So that worked. I pretty much hustled at like Wu-Tang sold CDs. Like, I'm just,
yeah.
I'm like, hey, you want a piece of fine art? I got like a 4x4 foot for $500.
Well, and what's interesting to me about that is,
but it's like academically, like really, really right. good stuff.
Well, that's just because what's interesting to me about that is as a musician, you tend to focus on, I want to find my audience en masse and kind of be able to find my place. And you don't think about like, no, I'm finding my audience literally one person at a time. And
but putting it, like, it'd be like doing live shows. It's like putting yourself, but like the show you do the city and you're actually there for like 3 weeks and you're like going grocery shopping. And you're like, oh, what are you in town for? You're like, oh, I'm doing shows here. They're like, really? And you're like, yeah. You're like, you start being around so much that then like, people actually come to it and they're like, okay. And they live there, so they buy it. Like, oh, he's traveling. He's going somewhere else. He'll be back, blah, blah, blah. And that's the best way to sell it, is because if people know you're going to be there forever, they don't want to see it. But the second you're like, oh, yeah, I'm leaving. You're like, oh, you're leaving? Like, yeah.
It adds that, like, bohemian.
It tricks them into it. It's a good market. They're like, oh, you're obviously good because you're leaving here to go somewhere else. So you're obviously making stuff. And it just, like, keeps going.
Top five spots for you in the country.
Chicago was super awesome. Savannah's always good to me. Columbus is horrible. I've never sold a piece of art, and I've had like 100 art shows. I did like a Sex in the City 2 premiere.
And this is Columbus,
Ohio.
Buckeyes.
Dude, it's,
you there's don't. A lot of culture. There's the Short North, tons of galleries,
but
great gay population, like the art scene, the Greek scene. There's like the biggest university in the entire world there. There's like a ton of stuff, and it's just not successful.
No.
That's no one crazy. Buys stuff. They love to just go look
okay,
at
so
it.
That was
like,
that
we're
was,
cultured.
It's
that
a,
was not,
it's
that's
region.
Not top five. So you gave me three.
Austin's pretty cool. I had fun in Fort Myers, but I was in a very exclusive place, and I was just like, that's not going to happen to a lot of people. So that's not really can't be up there.
I think that's interesting that he mentions Austin, Texas.
Yeah, with the 666 Slayer Day.
Hell yeah. Amen.
And it just worked.
No, when I think
it's easy to remember.
People think Texas, they think what they
boots, belt, buckles,
well, I mean,
rims.
And that's everywhere,
well, but
that's
I mean,
everywhere except Austin.
That's not true.
Exactly.
But for me, when I think about Austin, it's South by Southwest culture. You've got
Amen.
Tech, music, art, and film.
I've heard it.
And
I've
that is
it.
Austin.
Yeah. I've heard it be called the Portland of Texas.
No, because Portland is
you can debut.
Austin is great. They've got steaks and breakfast burritos. You won't find that shit in Portland. You're going to find like a hoagie wrapped
you're
in
gonna
a
find, yeah, you're going to find
in, like, deer spit.
Well,
we can
go
ahead and
debunk that. That's just what I've heard.
But, I mean, like, you can only eat their secretions. I'm like, I don't want like deer shit hot dog. Like, that's like not cool.
I don't want to bite in the side of an onion. Why are we doing this?
No, but
I understand what you're saying. As far as like the cultural significance and like the modern counterculture.
I've heard that said a lot. The Portland.
There's a tech bubble there too, like a pretty heavy one. My
tech
buddy,
bubble?
A buddy of mine who does
lots
IT
of technology
actually,
people.
Yeah, a lot
I
of.
I was talking about the Nintendo game, tech mobile.
I said tech bubble.
Bubble.
All right, I'm on it now.
And a buddy of mine who does IT here, I was talking to him, like, he's always wanted to move away from North Carolina. He was like, honestly, like, I'll just probably go to Austin. Like, it's the best choice, and it seems like it's really the only place that you can just walk into.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're good enough at IT, they're just like, well, fuck, we got a job, man. Like,
yeah, they'll find you a spot if you're good.
Well, okay, so let me ask you this then, kind of getting back to a little bit what we were talking about. The
So do you try to make your stuff accessible? Because you mentioned, like, you did the, you wanted to do, like the sports thing and stuff like that. Is that because you feel like there's a market for that and you have a product you can sell? Or is that more because...
yeah.
Okay.
That's strictly it. Like, it's a huge marketability. Like, I learned when I did the Chicago painting and then I had other places and I was, like, watching people go to the booth and then, like, couples were taking pictures next to it like it was a celebrity. It's like, I painted for 30 years. I've never seen people just take pictures like it's something famous. I was like, oh, yeah, people are fanatical about sports. I was like, I'm just going to do every sport now.
I'm going to catch.
Like, that's exactly like what I see.
People are actually posing
like,
with your
like,
picture.
I like to find business.
Well, okay,
products.
So that was my question. Like, are you trying to make it accessible so that they can, so they will buy it or so that it's relatable?
No, so they will buy it.
Okay.
And then it'll get on their wall and then I'll be like the first artist in their wall. So when they see, like, I want a painting, like, oh, wait, I have that artist. I'll go to him because that's the only artist I know of. Because I bought something that looked like a college blah, blah, blah. And, like, so it's like a calling card. Like, you got to get up on their wall. Like,
so it's about infiltration. Space,
yeah, you got to get, like, bam.
Which I guess makes sense going back to the art of war thing. With the...
Yeah, it's a strategy.
Yeah.
It's like the game of Risk. It's like you got to, like, conquer and get wall space. Because, again, you got, like, the, like, intellectual, like, property of, like, you're, like, you're, like, their go-ahead to artists. We're like, oh, yeah, there's artists. We're like, oh, yeah, I have so-and-so's piece. Like, what? Bam. So I was in, like, series wise, if I see, I like to get business models that are successful and then go do something else. So, like, I did, like, once I know, I'm like, oh man, you can make so much money off of this. And then I, like, go a completely different direction. Like, I did pet portraits and I didn't even tell people about it. And that got, like, gigantic. I was like, oh my goodness. Another dog. Like, I'm not doing any more pet portraits.
So you keep changing
it up? And, like, my friend Atlanta does that. Like, I give him, like, the one I just did. I was like, I'll call him up. I'm like, dude, Crazy Scott, new business model, pet portraits. And I'll start doing it. And he'll be like, oh, my goodness, it's working like gangbusters. And I'm like, I know. And I was like, do flowers. I was like, abstract flowers. It's so hot right now. And you do abstract flowers. But, like, yeah. He's like, what's next? I'm like, start writing books, man.
Are you like... the art society pimp?
Well, no.
It sounds like you're pimping out jobs.
Well, no. For, like, underground artists that have to keep and maintain, like, an integrity level, like, the ones that aren't about the fame, I, like, put them out there to set the bar for the artists that actually want to go out and show work. There's going to be an expected quality. Like, if you can't get that quality, they'll be like, well, I got a better print from this guy called the Urban Monk, like 25 bucks, and, like, I'm not paying for that. So then they got to get better, so it raises the quality.
I've had this discussion before, dude. Modern art, you can shit on a canvas and sell it for thousands of dollars.
Yeah, and I wish I knew those people, because, like...
Yeah, and that's what...
I see them, but, like, that's what I'm saying. If there's somebody who could get it that's not affiliated with any gallery, any agent, and can just go and do stuff, and the art world has no censorship on... Like, I quit doing galleries all year. It's like, I'm just not going to do stuff. And, like, the second I stopped doing stuff, and I went... I don't go through their gigs. I'm like... I went on, like, the...
So site, you did the radio...
Like, the IT gig wasn't through an art gallery. It was through Cube. So I dealt with people that ran a successful business, and they talked to me like, I'm just part of there to help their business run smooth. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you got the 4x4 foot. I'll have that out the door. Like, blah, blah, blah. This is my time. Like, this is how we do this. This is thanks for the check. Boom, boom, boom. In and out. Like, if I was dealing with the art world, I'd be like, well, this is our fee for your flyer. Like, they charge you for shit.
So you find about, like... Obviously, you're kind of cutting out the middleman, and you're sort of bringing yourself closer to your clients. Does that kind of like, it seems like having to be professional plays a huge role in that, from what you're saying. And are you finding that, like, it does that how somehow change your mindset on the way that you're approaching art when you're going into these places, knowing, like, okay, well, I need to do this, or is it just like, well, this is my business, this is how I make money, they do the same thing. You get what I'm saying? I kind of had trouble wording that question.
I go in with a game plan. Like, I always go into a game plan. Like going into the bar and be like, all right, I'm in the office. I need beer money tonight. So I put on my painter pants, a drink. Someone's like, I had this idea for a CD cover. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I got, like, a print for that. And I'm like, sweet.
That's Marcus, cool. I know people. I know
but then art. The thing is, it's like, it's done so professionally that it's like, they're like, deposit. And I'm like, oh, yeah, well, I'll send them a picture to the website of the piece that I have. And then the next day it's on their doorstep. It's never, like, some weird sketchy, like, if I'm like, here's going to be the painting, it's going to be in 7 days. It's, like, there. And you get progress shots. It's always, they're like, wow, you're actually like really kind of professional.
So how do you sell? Because I've got some business ventures with some guys that I unfortunately can't talk about on air. But our motto has kind of become people are only as legit as they appear. And so how do you sell someone going out to a bar and setting up a business deal like that? How do you sell someone on your professionalism and say, no, I'm actually legitimate and I'm not just.
I can like do the quick list of like this referencing resume. I'll be like, okay, so I got over 20 years of academic art training. I'm like a classically trained Chinese gymnast, but I'm like an American artist. So I'm probably like one of less than 1% in America. Because like I started academically trained at like 6 years old. Like I won my first international competition at 6. So I was in Central Ohio Art Academy for like 12 years under my mentor who was born on the same day. And she used to be a doctor, and she would teach us like human and animal anatomy at like 7 and 8. We're like learning like college level courses. Did that for like 12 years. Did 8 years at Savannah College of Art and Design, and like just like came out was just like bam, and then just went like recluse at the Hoarders for 4 years and just honed in on like just making craziness, and then like apprentice tattooing and just like started was teaching the kids. At my alma mater in Columbus every like weekend, I was like their mixed media teacher. So I was like hanging out with kids who were painting with glitter and just like went like straight up urban monk style. I just like went like off the grid and just created a ton of work and then just like stepped up production and then went to Morganton, North Carolina. I was like, I'm going to Morganton. And then got tied into Catawba Brewery and then filled up their like brewery with like 300 paintings. Canned a million beers, and then like
I
just happened to land in the city that happens to make the best beer in the country.
Well, part of what it sounds like though,
like it was
too,
the most randomest.
What's the scale? It's number 7.
It's number 7 on the top 10 worst and least happy citizens in a residence in a city in the
Morganton. I love it.
Morganton's like, number yeah.
I love
Morganton's
going
number
there.
Seven
so,
on
like,
basically the
so,
shittiest
yeah,
place.
Yeah, I love it because like as a miserable person and I just
number
like,
seven
I thrive in
yeah.
frustration. And there's nothing more frustrating to be in the most miserable city. She's like, oh my god, you guys just have no aspirations for anything. And it's just like that fuels me. I'm just like, I will be like, oh, so you're gonna be here forever? I'm like, are you kidding me? Like I told her, like, yeah, I'm leaving. Like, oh, you're leaving? I'm like, I love you guys, but like, man, I'm like.
Well, these are the kind of places that need a culture.
I almost built an artist colony there on Beecher Estates, like this crazy, also a really awesome guy, Jerry McMahon. He like gave me complete control over his estate with like golf courses, carts, like, and like, how, like, I had this whole itinerary set up to teach children's art school. And, like, I had resident artists come in from all over the nation that I've gone to school with that are all nationally known.
This is a very wealthy man lives on
like,
the side of a mountain.
Like, I had this whole
compound.
That's
like,
awesome.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's only, like, 20 minutes from Black Mountain. So, I was like, this has been done, like, 100 years ago. And the people that I'm going, like, Savannah College of Art and Design is, like, one of the top art schools in the world.
Yeah.
And, like, the people that I went to, they're the reason why they made it. Like, they're all, like, the photographers. Like, all the stuff that, like, was, like, cool and it's happening. Like, I get these, like, random pictures of, like, what? You did that? They're like, yeah, man, we're all doing this. I'm like, dude, I've been locking down some weird stuff. Like, what do you got? I shot the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. I'm like, I think I got like 2 beers coming out. They're like, what? I'm like, yeah, I canned a million beers. I don't know, man. I got lost in the mountain and like grew this beard and started canning. Like, I just went.
Let me throw this in.
I like,
let me throw
Rocky
this in about
three style on it. And just like went into the mountains and went crazy.
We throw this in. About what you, the story you told me, the story I got was you did all this. This guy, Jerry, very wealthy guy, and this was his dying wish.
Well, no, I mean, he was terminal. I don't know what he had, but he was like, I want to see this come to fruition.
Yes. Well,
the proper way.
Let's just say that he was
one of the coolest human beings I ever met.
He passed away. And then
soon
you
after.
Basically got kicked out.
No, we got kicked out, and he passed away soon after.
Okay, so you got kicked out first.
Yes. Well, we didn't get kicked out. We optioned.
Who
we got,
kicked you out?
We got optioned to, we'd have to rezone it.
Who kicked you out?
We didn't get kicked out. We had to get, they gave us an option to continue to be there.
It was.
But they
to get
they threw rezoning at it.
With the agencies.
Yeah.
I can't say because that would just be me doing it. Like, it's not legally, no one did anything. It's a theory.
It's a weird segue, just for a moment. We actually, our podcast, by odd circumstance, since you mentioned Black Mountain, one of the bank tellers at a bank that I work at...
I have no idea where this is going.
Yeah, I know. Because I haven't told you yet.
Okay.
This only happened to me a couple days ago. Our podcast actually got invited to attend the Black Mountain Highland Games this year.
Oh, what?
Yeah, and I was told that we should have Logan enter the amateur Highland Games.
Wait, was that what that was about? Because Logan rips out trees?
I told my bank teller, my bank teller at the bank that I go to told me that his clan in the Highland Games, which is the biggest North Carolina Highland Games that they have, and it's like a huge number of people go to this thing every year, his clan is the 6-year running champs for the tug of war for the Highland Games. And I was talking to him, I was like, I got a buddy who fucking tears trees out of the ground.
This is
for
fun. Story. It's true.
Like Hulk. Yeah.
Like Hulk. Like his their family gatherings are the Hash Boys are gonna go in the backyard and push trees down.
Yeah.
We play disc golf, he hits a tree, and gets pissed off and rips it out of the ground.
He'll remove hazards from a disc golf.
I wanna see him rip trees out.
It's pretty cool. So basically what ended up happening was he was like, yeah, you guys can come, I'll hook you up, like see if we can get you like a press pass kind of thing. And I was like, fucking cool, man. And I told him about Logan, and he was like, you should have him enter the amateur competition because he'd probably kill at it, like, because he sounds like he's the kind of person that would...
He can rip a tree in half.
Dude, they push trees out of the goddamn ground.
That's amazing.
It's great. It's really cool.
That's kind of a tree rush.
If you just be like, push that tree down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you do random
tree like, trees pushes. Like, up to, like, probably, like, that big. He'll just, like, stand behind it and go... And just fucking just tear it from the roots.
I have literally seen him. I've seen him pull fuck you trees out of the ground and disc golf courses to not hit them.
Basically, on the disc golf, because I have a couple trees that are in my backyard yeah. that I want in the front yard. So if he can just uproot them for me,
I'll throw them over the house.
Oh, I want to have a little segment here.
Yeah,
just randomly. I want to do I just want a beer nerd out.
Yeah,
I want to beer nerd the word,
which is good.
I want to do the gospel truth here.
I don't know.
You're on the internet
about some beer.
What?
You're on the internet now.
This is something. Something that right Jeff now. Brought over.
Jeff brought it in,
and it's Thomas Creek is brewery.
Perfect timing.
Jeff's like Beetlejuice.
This was your pick. It's a coffee oatmeal stout. First time I've had that brewery, anything from that brewery.
Me too, actually.
And I really enjoy it, but what I want to nerd out about, I want to nerd about the word.
I look like a turd on you.
And this is, if you get this beer, you've got to pair it with Utz chocolate pretzels. This is a marriage. Right here.
If anybody is unaware, I love chocolate covered pretzels. It's kind of a thing.
And you picked out the pretzels.
I did.
Y'all picked out the beer.
I saw a $10 bottle, giant carton of fucking. It is. It's a giant
$10?
Bottle. That's a $10 barrel.
And we got this. We got this.
It's almost
at
as much
total
as the beer costs.
I don't care. It's fucking chocolate covered pretzels.
We got the chocolate covered pretzels and the beer at Total Wine.
Yeah.
And
I would never like actually say that.
I would totally say it.
Total Wine.
It's delicious.
It's a magical pairing.
Yeah, I need another pretzel now.
You like the beer? I love the beer. I like the beer, and now
we haven't talked about this beer yet, have we?
I meant to bring you.
All right, well, first and foremost, cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys. Does everybody have a stout?
Did you not get some of this?
No.
Do you want some?
Sure.
To the audience, you do not hear the sound of clinking glasses because we're drinking out of Red Solo Cups.
I'm sure we addressed that earlier.
To-go cups
to me are the styrofoam.
Yeah, what do you call these?
Yeah, to-go cups are styrofoam.
To-go cups?
No, to-go cups, red.
No, to-go cups are styrofoam.
Yeah, that's what I was to-go. No. The only place that to-go cups are these are in Savannah. Everywhere else,
to go cab.
Well, because you're allowed to take beer with you.
Gonna,
here, it's on the DL, and you're
I'm
like, hey, fill the styrofoam cup up.
I'm
going
to venture to say that since other countries are having American parties and drinking out of red Solo cups, I'm just going to go out there. I'm just going to throw it out there. I think probably there's regional terms throughout the country.
Probably.
To-go cups.
So, for him, it's to-go cups. For me, it's codeine cups.
Yeah, it's funny, as I had
For the actual label, it says Solo. So I usually go with what it says on the label.
Well, Fulmer's getting the taste
yourself.
Of the beer.
I
haven't drinked out of a Solo cup, by the way.
No, it's a Solo beer.
I had
that. Does that not pair well, Jeff?
Oh, what are you doing?
No, it's amazing.
You're
just
put your finger
killing
in there.
The carbonation.
No, I was
don't do that.
No.
You get all your Oreos from your finger into the beer.
It ruins the
lacing. You're losing the head.
No, that's what you're supposed to do. That's because it makes it go faster.
That's
not what you're supposed to do.
I do that because it makes it go faster.
It does make it go faster.
But you don't want to lose your head.
I did.
You don't want to lose the head of your beer.
Sometimes I don't care, and I just want to drink the beer. I'm like, you know what? That's way too much fun. That was a bad pour, and I got tired.
No, there is that. That is
seriously
a thing.
Here and here.
Don't have time for that.
What were we talking about?
Bad pours.
there is such thing as a bad pour, yeah.
You get way too much head, like, oh, you just gotta let that settle. Like,
you know, it's another
interesting thing. That's the thing. You should
yeah,
let
if
it settle.
But it was like 8 inches, I'm not...
No, not that much.
That's a bad pour.
Apparently in Japan...
It will turn into beer, though.
Apparently
it will, but...
Apparently in Japan, they like to have head on their beers. And so they,
yeah,
when
they
you go out to a bar, you get a plastic,
well, that's
a plastic cup instead of a
well,
pint
yeah,
glass.
Because,
yeah.
Because
it generates
right.
foam.
And it has an agitator on it. So it's a little thing you push down, and it flicks the bottom of the glass to release all the CO2 up to the top of the beverage. And that's how they prefer to drink
oh,
it.
So that
that's what
yeah,
I
was going to say.
Yeah.
It was
that's
like
what I remember
flat,
about
it. You want it flat with a lot of head. That's how they prefer
they
to drink it.
They could just like
that
save the money
terrible.
And just never even carbonate the beer and just
well,
like pour it in the
that's actually,
bucket.
It's funny because that's, I remember that being very common when I was over there and I was in bars.
Like, hey,
was,
beer.
I didn't know what it was, but it was just this little thing that tapped the bottom of the beer glass. And I was like, what the
yeah.
fuck?
So on the top, you know how you got the handle?
Yeah,
you push
yeah.
your thumb down, it goes click, and it taps the bottom of the glass.
Yeah.
And shoots like carbonation up to the top.
It's frightening to that.
So you have a flat beer with a lot of head.
Well, the idea is they
yeah,
pour it
like
with a lot of head.
Yeah.
They pour it with a lot of head, and the carbonation's in it. But as the head dies,
yeah.
they think that the head is an important part of the flavor of the beer. And so they
well,
sacrifice the carbonation in the beer to renew the head of the beer.
That's so horrible.
I'll say this, man. Like, there's one very interesting thing.
I know. It's weird.
There's a really interesting thing about drinking in Japan. Japan has the most incredibly high-functioning alcoholics I've ever seen.
They have the most breweries
because they don't have bubbles.
Bubbles.
It's the carbonation.
I got to tour a whiskey distillery, and I hate whiskey. Everybody that yeah, I don't like it.
What?
I don't like whiskey. Not a fan. And
like
I got to tour. I do. I like gin.
I knew it.
Yeah, I'm an old man. It's funny because like I toured a whiskey distillery while I was there called Yamazaki, and it's one of my two whiskeys that I really, really do enjoy. And there was a bottle of 50 year that was there that one of the kids that was with us bought a double of, and it cost him $60 for a double shot of that whiskey. And he was already pretty drunk, so I got to drink most of it, which
was
pretty cool. As it turns out, the reason that distillery is so renowned is that a big reason that they do so well is the water source that they have that comes through is a natural spring, and it's apparently one of the 100 most pure water sites on the planet.
Which mountain does that come from?
Yamazaki Distillery comes from... I'm trying to remember the name. I know closing my eyes isn't going to work,
sure
but it pretends like... Just let me pretend. Just let me have this moment.
I'm sure it comes from a very natural where there's no contamination or anything.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Like, and
so it's like high-altitude ice water.
Kind yeah,
of it's, yeah, it's just... It's all just getting basically melted from a goddamn...
So they don't have to alter the water at all, they just take it and...
No, it's the stream runs through the back of the fucking factory.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow,
it's really cool.
It's the cleanest thing in the entire...
Dude, it's really cool. Like, it was one of the more rad experiences. I had to hold on to the kid's shirt leaving because he was so drunk. I had to walk him to the fucking train station because he was so just completely obliterated because he was like, I want to drink more whiskey. And I was like, you clearly don't drink very much. You just turned 21, didn't you? Yeah. Okay. 8 shots over the course of an hour, not going to do well for you, buddy.
Yeah, no.
Way to go, America.
So we're starting to reach the end of the episode. And there's a couple things we normally do. I didn't tell you guys about this because this episode was kind of put together a little bit of rush. But we do picks, which are kind of like what you're watching, what you're reading, what games you're playing, anything like that. If you guys want to weigh in, you can. Don't feel like you have to. And then the second thing we'll do is we'll do plugs. And I know you got some stuff to plug, too, which was... So we'll get there. So think about that. Well, we'll plug you.
You're getting plugged in. I'll plug
myself.
Please don't do this. I want to do
something. I'm going to try to end with the...
Well, it's because I've got a pick. Go for it. Okay, so my pick is... I've got two picks, actually. I just... on Netflix, I stumbled into a series called Darknet, which I was telling you about some on the phone. It's a... the first season is 6 episodes. They're... Let's call them non-serialized horror stories. It turns out there is some very, very light serialization in the fact that there's this website called Darknet that's kind of like a... the websites you used to go on like in high school that were like, here's a real dead person. It's like that in the story, but it's like...
It's snuff films
on the internet. Okay. So it's this website that hosts snuff films, and the episodes are about like the making of these snuff films, so to speak. Obviously, it's all fiction. Nobody really does. And so, but the writing is stellar. And so that led me to check out a series that I've been wanting to watch for a very long time. It's about to start its 3rd season now, and I had it described to me as a fucked up Twilight Zone. It's called Black Mirror. And
you're talking about this.
I'm not going to say how I found it, but I will say it's not available on Netflix or Hulu or anything like that. So you're going to have to dig a little bit to find it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, positively worth watching. Every episode is different. Every episode is amazing. The first episode starts out, the first 5 minutes you have to find out that the Prime Minister has to fuck a pig to save the princess.
Ew.
And they just like run with that. So yeah. So you got one?
Yeah. Run through my. You said picks.
We'll do picks first if you have
picks. Yeah. Reading right now. Just started For Whom the Bell Tolls from Ernest Hemingway. I don't have much to say about it yet because I just started. But I have not seen the movie, and I don't know that I will after I read the book. We'll see how it goes. Listening to top indie alt country rock record of the season for me, Ryan Adams, self-titled.
You were playing me some of that a couple weeks. It's pretty good.
It's amazing,
and it's Ryan Adams really like starting to show like his more raw
side. Yeah, what he did with this record. It's very raw, yet it's very big.
sorry.
Things got serious and then it got really not serious.
So I was going to say something earlier, but I'm glad I waited.
I think we could all comment on that
one.
It's a great record. It is like what I said. It is, you know, it's indie alt country solo powered rock. But what he did with this record, the ballads have testosterone. The ballads have oomph. He's known for his slower slow jams.
More like radio friendly kind of stuff.
It's chill lounge stuff. And
he's not chill lounge. Garth Brooks?
No.
Are you talking about?
No.
You have been zoned out for like the last 10 minutes.
I don't know that Ryan and Garth would have a whole lot in common.
Okay.
But anyway, so it's good. He's got a big sound with this record that sometimes he's tapped into it, but and it is a solid. The record is an entity. It's start to finish. It's fucking great.
What was his name?
Ryan Adams.
Ryan Adams?
He's actually from
Ryan Adams.
Nah, where's he from? He's from North Carolina.
Who's he? I don't know.
He doesn't even know who you're talking about.
Yeah, but he's from North Carolina.
He's in Batman.
I don't know if he's from like Goldsboro and just did his thing in Asheville. Anyway, he's from North Carolina. Solid record. It's one of these, it's like, you know, people are putting out singles now, and he's putting out records.
Not Brian Adams.
Not Brian Adams. No. And movies. Okay, this is going to be my next rewatch.
Okay.
Because I just saw, and I was so late in this, but I just saw Apocalypse Now for the first time.
Over good summer, fucking movie.
Summer. And it's, you know, fast forward a couple months, and I'm like, ready to see it again. And it's a great movie.
Hell yeah.
Everybody knows this. apparently, except for me.
Yeah, it's
until I saw
it. No, but it's worth it. If anybody hasn't seen it, like, that's a fucking iconic.
Actually, our girlfriend Leah was watching it, and I came home and she was in the bedroom watching it on Netflix. And I just kind of like, you know, just kind of like happened upon it. I'm like, what is this? This is amazing. Didn't know what it was.
That's horrible.
I saw Sheen, and I was like, admit that. Yeah, and I was like, I was like, this looks like Vietnam. You know, before I even knew it was Vietnam, I was like, it looks like Vietnam. It looks awesome.
If anybody hasn't seen it, you should never admit that you haven't seen it. Go home and then watch it.
Yeah. So I'm gonna do a rewatch on a movie that I just found out about that is amazing.
So you can pay attention and watch. Yeah, that makes sense.
Those are my
picks. Alex, you have a pick?
Yeah, actually. One of my picks is actually a local restaurant we talked about earlier. I think
off air, right?
Yeah, off air. There's a small local restaurant near, or actually in the same building complex as Hoot's Roller Bar, called the Porch. The Porch is kind of
the same porch that's in Jamestown?
No.
Okay, good. Because
totally
no affiliation.
No affiliation at all.
Good.
It's a local. It's actually, I think last year it won Best New Restaurant. In Winston, a buddy of mine who we've talked about having on the podcast quite a bit, Anthony Zolo, is one of the kitchen managers there.
From Damart Majors.
He's not on Damart Majors. He plugs Damart Majors a lot though, because we have a mutual
friends of Damart Majors.
That's all. It's a Latin fusion kind of place. It's a very interesting take on it because the head chef worked in Asian cuisine for so long. Which is a very interesting. They have Korean barbecue tacos, which are really good, and things like that. And
I was gonna say that would really come through with the pork.
Yeah, the pork stuff that they have is just fucking stellar.
Pork and Hispanic food is really underrated.
Depends on who's.
Yeah, it depends on the.
Well, but even like
the wizard behind the curtain with that.
But even like I worked at Moe's for like a year and then tried the pork and I was like, Jesus, why did nobody tell me this was awesome?
Yeah,
it's just me. Maybe it's underrated for me.
It's also like you have to think about it from the standpoint of whether or not you're talking about Mexican pork or Chilean pork or Argentine pork.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And it is all different. But I took my girlfriend there when she was in town, and we got and she got empanadas that were just. Fucking.
You had to go to the doctor?
I have no idea what that
is. She had a case of the empanadas, dude.
No one in here understands what you're talking about.
I was just like,
even the only female in this room did not get that.
She was like, oh,
okay. Yes! I've been working on that all day.
Only you.
I've been working on that all day. It was so funny in my head. I'm enjoying it.
I also just a personal preference of mine for plug. I'm gonna plug the brand of shoes Pumas because they're so comfortable.
I completely agree.
So are you also getting
it's a premature plug?
Sponsorship from all these places. Also, want to plug the USA Network. They're fantastic. They make great TV shows.
Sprint,
Zebra Sprint,
no, fuck Sprint,
fuck Sprint.
I dropped Sprint.
I hate Sprint.
You got fuck those guys. Fuck any major mobile company.
How about fuck anyone who provides cellular service?
I'm not agreeing with any of these people's thoughts.
Sprint sucks.
I like everybody.
The views and opinions of Urban Monk are not represented by the Redacted Podcast.
I think everybody's cool, so like that's chill.
Also,
Zebra Shrimp, read the book, man. Come on.
Yeah, I think everybody's cool.
Also, I'd like to make one of my picks, the Urban Monk.
Yeah,
pretty cool guy. Sitting on the couch.
Jeff, Marcus, you guys have any picks?
I'll let him go. Then I'll go.
I pick barbecue. I don't know what for. Like everything.
Barbecue, everything.
Wintertime.
Can you put that on stickers? Can that be a thing?
North Carolina or South Carolina barbecue?
All, well, no, North Carolina. But
wait,
like,
how did we not talk? What's
I
the,
just prefer good barbecue.
What's the best
what is
barbecue?
The base?
I have a feeling that
the
I
best barbecue
answer.
Is made with love.
I knew this one. There was going to be no mention of Tennessee or Kentucky
or
Texas.
Texas.
It was just going to be
no Mongolia.
Oh man, the best barbecue is good barbecue.
Yeah, like, it depends on where you're at. Like Montana, you had to go to the Indian reservation to get like this side of like pork butt. And, like,
you're the first person I've ever heard talk about Montana barbecue, and that's
yeah,
awesome.
Oh yeah, man, North Dakota barbecue is the fucking best.
No, I went up there like I'm.
Well,
this,
they cook pork
no,
too.
On,
I'll give you
no,
that.
No, on Rising Eagle Ranch, I like barbecued like two barrel smokers, like all the food from the Indian reservation. I took it all and I barbecued it. It probably
did you steal from Native Americans? Is that what you're telling
no,
us?
No, we bought it all. We cooked it.
They've
all.
Been through enough. You can't steal
no,
their barbecue.
We, no, we paid for it. I got deer skins and elk buttons.
Elk buttons?
Yeah, buttons made out of elk bones.
Because
cool.
For a second there, I thought this was something totally different.
I thought it was edible.
Kind of like when
well,
we...
I mean, you could eat them.
This is kind of like when we renamed the clitoris. That's where this was going for me.
No, this was like...
Uh-oh.
No, these
yeah.
are real elk. These are like, like animals. I don't know.
Button.
No, these are like animals. I don't really know what you're talking about.
That's okay. Previous podcast.
That's
those of you who don't know what we're talking about, go back and listen to the previous episode.
Yes, it's about deer.
Callbacks.
Speaking of plugs.
Jeff, what's your plug?
Since we're talking about beer, probably North Carolina breweries. There's a couple new ones opening up in Greensboro and in the High Point area. There is Gibbs Hunter Brewing. They just opened up 2 months ago.
Cool guess. Right?
Yeah, no. Totally awesome, great beer. There'll be one opening up right near the ballpark of the Grasshoppers Battleground. It's called Friar Brewing.
Okay. I haven't heard about that.
They a few of them work at the Fifth Season. It's a homebrew shop.
Okay.
And then there's another one opening up in High Point, which will be the only other brewery in High Point besides Liberty, called 12 Tribes. Don't know too much about them.
Yeah.
They have an Indiegogo.
Cool
we'll have to check
you,
it out.
You check
is.
Out their Indiegogo.
It's like a Tom Cruise movie.
Gibbs had a Kickstarter. They fully accomplished it.
Yeah.
So now they have barrel aging and cask and everything.
Nice.
So
Kevin Costner.
Check
Costner.
Them out.
So plugs real quick. Obviously, I've got Time Machine Drive By. Marcus's book is...
The Urban Monk book.
The Urban Monk book. The
yeah,
War of Art,
yeah.
Right? You want to give us a quick rundown of what you can
the
find
war,
when you read
the
it?
The War of Art. It's a translation on the art of war, but applied to creative professional practices and success, whether it's creative, financial, or just trying to get art on walls and stuff if you make stuff and it's good.
Boom.
And give us your... How do we find you?
It's on Amazon... Or, oh, it's on my, well, it's not on my website.
But you
have
yeah, link to it on your website?
I will tomorrow because
okay.
I got good.
Give us the website.
UrbanMonk.ninja.
N-I-N-G-A-J-A.
Did you really just not spell
ninja?
You got too many. I'm taking the time to speak away from you.
N-I-N-J-A.
Ninja.
We're going with UrbanMonk.ninja. And there's like no .com. It's
just .ninja. I looked
anything,
it up like 20
anything,
minutes.
It really exists. And that's like part of the magic.
Anything
yeah,
I want to know about you
while
you're listening to
this podcast.
This website.
What?
Anything I want to know about you as far as what
hell
you...
no, not anything.
I didn't catch that right.
It's like
me,
my art is on
as
that.
A fan trying to figure out how to do business
see my
with
art,
you.
Yes. There's my contact email. And there's all the things that I put on the internet of pictures of my stuff I make.
Awesome. Tim, you got anything to plug?
That's my question.
Fontiflora?
Yes.
Hell
they're
yeah.
like the best
that's
sleeper
good.
Brewery ever made in the world.
If you go to Morganton, if you pass through, if you pass by,
don't know
it
why
is God. It is God forsaken, but that
no, it's
is...
not. It's awesome, and the people are super cool.
Not, he's not talking about the brewery.
He's talking,
talking
about
the town.
The town.
No, I am too. Awesome.
Well, that's one man.
Marcus
opinion.
Has roots there. I do
yeah,
not,
people...
so I have a different
yeah, people are
however,
like...
you should go to the brewery.
Opinions of the Urban Monk are not representative of Neighbor Dacton Podcast.
Yeah. I want to say this again about
yeah,
the place.
Yeah, I live in
alternate
reality. I live in all.
Well, this is what I told you guys earlier. It is not only drinkable, but it is absolutely desirable.
That's a very fair assessment. Yeah.
Jeff, what were you guys getting?
Cuckoo! For plugs, not actually coming up here soon. No, it'll be a little while.
Cool. Well, have a good night, guys. What do I say?
You gotta go touch some butts.
Go touch some butts. Same bad time, same bad channel. What else do we say? Plug a Jew. I don't know. Yeah, there's other things.
There are other things, too.
Hug a friend, love a neighbor.
There you go. Wow.